Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom. You know, tonight's show is critically important. I'll explain why in just a second. So it does not matter where you are listening to this. If you are listening up on Long Island or if you're listening in Gainesville or on any of the four stations locally that we're on, the information that you're going to hear tonight can, in fact, save your life. We're here with a most fascinating guest who comes with information that is crucial to living the best life possible. May is Stroke Awareness Month. And my guest and the information he'll share tonight is critical to helping you prevent stroke and, just as important, if not more important, how to prevent the long-term effects that you might experience if you unfortunately have a stroke and don't act on it fast enough. Dr. Ali Malik is my guest tonight, and he's one of the leaders in all things strokes. He works primarily with St. Mary's Hospital and the Palm Beach Neuroscience Institute in West Palm Beach. Dr. Malik is not only a leading authority in stroke awareness and prevention, as well as the treatment, he is a tireless advocate and accomplished speaker on the subject. And I will get to him in just a second, but I have to compliment him. He came back from vacation last night, and he's still committed to be here, and here he is. And he also is responsible for my book. So if you out there have read my book, he's responsible. If you like to thank him, if not, keep it to yourself. But I want to thank some incredible people who get involved in many charitable efforts. And this comes to me because at the very last minute last week, I was asked to speak to a small group of Kiwanians in Palm Beach Gardens. And it dawned on me that these little groups, Rotary, Knights of Columbus, Knights of Pythias, Elks, Lions, Moose, all of these little groups do a remarkable job at giving back to the community some of the blessings that they themselves share. So I want to thank the Kiwanians in Palm Beach Gardens for inviting me, but I want to thank all of you out there who spend a little bit of your time, your effort, hopefully a few bucks as well, that provide the kind of charitable activities from little tiny kids on up to seniors in helping make lives better. But I don't want to waste a lot of time, and I want to get to my guest. So let me talk to Dr. Malik, who is a specialist in interventional neurology, practicing out of St. Mary's Hospital, with his office being located at Palm Beach Neuroscience Institute in West Palm Beach. I actually could spend the entire show reading his personal affiliations in his bio, but suffice to say that Dr. Malik has a terrific resume, and he has been practicing here since 1996. So, Dr. Malik, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Scott.
Why don't we start right at the beginning? What is a stroke? Because I don't think everybody knows what they are.
So I'm going to give you the long answer for that.
Because
everyone gives a short answer, but here's the long answer. Our body is made of cells, and the majority of our cells are able to regenerate themselves, and they're able to actually, if you damage something, it repairs itself. There are two organ systems that are particularly sensitive to damage that don't repair themselves the same way. One is the heart, and one is the brain. If you have a heart attack, when heart muscle dies, it dies forever. And that's why if you have too many heart attacks, you actually lose function. Same thing for the brain. If brain cells die, you don't really recover the brain cells afterwards. So anytime you have brain cells die, and there are two major ways that happens. One is because of lack of blood flow, because of a blockage, and the other is because a blood vessel ruptures or breaks and there's bleeding in the brain. That is a stroke. So short answer, stroke is when brain cells die because of damage secondary to the blood supply feeding the brain cells. But the important thing to remember is that whenever brain cells die, they don't come back that easily.
You know, there's something you said that prompts a question for me. I hear many times is, I had mini stroke. I had a TIA. Severity matters, but all strokes matter, right? I mean, people really don't fully grasp the concept of just how serious this topic is.
I think most people, you know, when they think about a stroke, they think about massive strokes where they're unable to speak, unable to move part of their body. They end up in a nursing home or they die from it. But the reality is those types of strokes usually come about after you've had what you call a mini stroke or a TIA. A TIA stands for transient ischemic attack. And what a transient ischemic attack really is, I mean, we've changed the definition over the years. At this point, it's when brain cells lose blood supply long enough for them to not function correctly, but then get their blood supply restored. And so you don't lose blood. You don't actually have brain cells die. The reality is there's probably no such thing. If you have any lack of blood flow that lasts more than 30 seconds to a minute and a half to a portion of your brain, if we were to look at it microscopically, you would have some dead brain cells and that would make it a stroke. But TIAs in general are symptoms that come on all of a sudden. And the most common one that we're worried about is when you lose vision in an eye and the other side of your body, you have weakness of your arm, weakness of your leg, weakness of your face. That's called amaurosis fugax. If you have that kind of an event, that's basically a warning sign that you're at risk, at very high risk for having a stroke. So key thing for anyone listening is that if you ever have a spell where you lose function of your body, you lose one side, you have difficulty speaking, all the signs and symptoms that we'll talk about for a stroke. Even if it goes away completely within a minute, 2 minutes, it is still an emergency. You don't know that it's not going to happen again, this time not go away. You don't drive yourself to the hospital, unlike certain people.
I'm getting yelled at just for my audience who doesn't know I did that.
So what you do is you call 911. And right. You get to the hospital as quickly as possible. I believe 3 years ago we had this discussion. I probably used the same analogy because it's such a good one. I borrowed it from one of my colleagues who was from South Africa. He said, if you're walking in the bush and a bushman fires a poison dart at you and misses, do you keep walking like nothing's happened? That's what a TIA is. It's a near miss. It's something where a clot's come from somewhere. It's blocked off blood supply to a portion. Fortunately, for whatever reason, the clot breaks up, goes downstream, and the deficit that you have, the weakness that you have, goes away very quickly. But it came from somewhere. And odds are, if we don't do something to keep it from happening again, you're at risk of having a really big stroke. So I would consider the mini strokes, the TIAs, as warnings that you're at risk for a much larger stroke. The other thing to remember is that the brain is an incredibly complex organ system that does a lot of different things. And there are areas of high real estate and areas that may have a little bit less real estate depending on what you're doing. So getting numbness in your pinky toe as a consequence of your stroke is a lot less significant than if you have something that burns out the area that feeds the entire circuitry to the right side of your body or your speech center.
So that begs a whole host of questions. Some of the symptoms that you describe many other things besides stroke. So the question is, you know, is there a way to know the difference, or should you check those all out? Do you run the risk of being called a hypochondriac if you run too often or call 911 too often? That's the first question. And the second question, is anybody at risk for a stroke, or is it just our perceived notion that unhealthy people who perhaps are overweight and breathing and eating poorly and
so we're gonna answer that in reverse sequence. The key thing is that anyone can have a stroke. Children have strokes. We recently took care of a 17-year-old girl after a 14-year-old boy that both came in with acute strokes, and it can happen to anyone. The key thing is for each person to try to figure out what their own risk factors are. Obviously, the person that has high blood pressure, diabetes, has a sedentary lifestyle, has had a heart attack in the past, their mom had a stroke or dad had a stroke at a young age, they're at much higher stroke than the teenager. But anyone can have a stroke, and so it's important to know what the signs and symptoms of a stroke are. Now, what we want everyone to learn is the acronym FAST. And FAST stands for face. That means weakness or numbness of one side of the face or another. A stands for arm, really arm and leg, or arm or leg, where you have sudden weakness or numbness of an arm or leg, both on the same side. Or I think that it's kind of really important to remember that these are things that happen suddenly. S stands for speech. This can be comprehension problems. This can be difficulty speaking. This is where garbled words come out or no speech comes out. And then T stands for time. time is brain. You need to look at what time it is. If you see somebody having a stroke, you should see what the time is at that moment, because every minute that goes by when somebody is having a stroke, up to 1.9 million brain cells are dying. So some of our treatments are more effective in a shorter time period. Some of our treatments are time locked. So it's important for us to know when the symptoms started. But the key thing, what you pointed out, was that some signs and symptoms could be things that you have from something else. So, for example, you could sleep on your arm funny, and your arm will go to sleep and you'll wake up numb. The key thing about a stroke is that these are symptoms that happen all of a sudden. They happen, you know, one second you're normal, the next second you've suddenly lost vision. You've suddenly lost the ability to move half of your body. You've suddenly lost sensation in half your body. The suddenness is really important. But in all honesty, if in doubt, you know, it's, I know nobody wants to be called a hypochondriac, but it's much better than not getting checked out. So,
and I think you said it before, which was directed at me, because I am that fool he was talking about who drove himself to the hospital. People are afraid to call 911. They're kind of terrified of being a burden or filing a false report or something like that. And they should be exactly the opposite.
Please don't be. Our colleagues in EMS are some of the most amazing people you'll ever have. They actually start treating you in the field. They can also come and identify, and if they think that something's not that serious, they can help reassure you. But the reality is that if you come in through 911, the advantage is that they actually call us on their way in. We get our team ready. We get everything ready. You go straight to the emergency room. You bypass a lot of lines. No delays occur. And they are treating you and communicating with us from the very beginning. They want to help you. We want to help you. And you worrying about being a burden, you're going to be a lot bigger burden to your family and to yourself if you end up having a massive stroke instead of something much smaller and much more manageable.
And that is really the key. And I know they're going to talk about this more later on in the show. But the opposite is really the truth. Instead of being, a hypochondriac or an alarmist, the reality is that what it to be a real stroke, early intervention is so critical that people just cannot grasp how important that is.
So the greatest thing is that we're improving. Right now, but because of your efforts, people like you, the EMS education, things like that, we've gone from a 3% rate where people actually are having a stroke and they get to the hospital quickly enough to be administered the clot-busting drug. In Palm Beach County, that number is more than 20%. And that's we have some of the best numbers in the country. That's still a long ways from 100%. We really need that number to be 100%. And the truth is that, you know, unless people start taking it a little bit more seriously, I think that a lot of people just say, I think I may be having a stroke, but if I go take a nap, maybe I'll feel better when I wake up. And they don't realize that that's the worst thing they could possibly do.
Right. If you're just tuning in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I am here tonight with Dr. Ali Malik. Dr. Malik is he's an expert in strokes, and he's here tonight to talk to us about early warning symptoms, prevention. We haven't gotten anywhere near prevention yet. We haven't gotten to treatment yet. We've talked a little bit about speed. That's really important. We will revisit that a number of times because it is that critical. We're going to talk about, because you have interest, about the difference between an aneurysm and a stroke. We have a lot of things on the plate coming forward. And this may be, because this is Stroke Awareness Month, May is Stroke Awareness Month, this may be one of the most important shows I ever do during the course of the year, because this show, if you listen carefully and pay attention, can in fact not only save your life, but just as importantly, save the life of your loved one and prevent you from ignoring something that you shouldn't possibly ignore. So yes, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. If you're listening on 900 AM, the Talk of the Palm Beaches, it is Monday night. And if you're on 95 or the highway or the turnpike, please drive carefully. But if you're somewhere else and you'd like to call Dr. Malik, you can just dial 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960. 960-9960.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Scott, caregiver stress is really a silent killer, isn't it?
It really is, Mike. The statistics are astounding. Nearly 64% of family caregivers taking care of somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia without having outside help will predecease their loved one who has Alzheimer's and dementia. The stress of taking care of a loved one with a chronic disease can take a terrible toll, and the need for a respite is never more apparent than when you're feeling the most stressed.
So, Scott, your services can be provided for just a couple of hours a day so we can live our normal life.
Yes, Mike. Even a couple of hours away from the family member who is struggling with a chronic disease can give you the break that you need to take care of yourself. Get your hair done, go out and play cards, maybe a round of golf, go see a movie. All of these are things that will help you take care of your loved one better if you're in a better frame of mind. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us, 561-630-1620.
I'm here with Tino Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Tino, you guys are really going above and beyond when it comes to training your staff for Alzheimer's care.
So, Mike, a lot of people complain about their caregivers being on the phone all day. At Comfort Care, we are training our caregivers to keep your loved ones active, engaged, and stimulated.
And Tino, what are some of the things you're doing to make your caregivers better equipped to take care of people with Alzheimer's?
So twice a month, I'm bringing our caregivers in to our office for specialized training on behavior modification and cognitive stimulation activities designed to keep your loved ones active when the caregivers are there staying with them. We find caregivers respond favorably when they have the tools at their disposal to take care of your loved one. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of your life. So let our family take care of your family. 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. If you're just tuning in, congratulations. You're going to listen to one of the best shows I'm going to do all year. I'm here with Dr. Ali Malik. Dr. Malik is a specialist. He's an interventional neurologist specializing in the treatment of strokes, and he really is the expert in strokes. And I can tell you from personal knowledge just how effective he is with friends of mine who have fortunately gotten to him, but unfortunately needed him. So it's kind of a blessing of both sides. If you're listening on 900 AM, the Talk of the Palm Beaches, it's Monday night. We're live. If you're listening at 103.9 FM on Long Island, we're glad that you're with us, Long Island's Talk Radio. And 104.9 in Gainesville, we are again glad that you're with us. Saturday morning here, we're on 95.9 FM at 8 o'clock, and we're on the True Oldie stations, both of them at 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning. So wherever you listen to us, we're glad that you are here, and you need to stay with us because the information about to, that we're about to give you can, in fact, save your life or the life of your loved one. Dr. Malik, before we went to break, we were talking about a whole lot of things, but I know one of the things that's changed a lot over the years is technology. So how is technology affecting what we're doing?
Well, it's completely transformed the face of stroke. So it used to be that if somebody came in with a stroke, this is 20 years ago, you'd put them in a dark room, you'd kind of see how they do over the course of a few days. And if they did well, then you tried to figure out why they had the stroke and prevent the next one. If they didn't, they ended up going to rehab or to a nursing home or whatever. About a little over a decade ago, we had a drug basically created for us or discovered for us by the name of IVTPA, the clot-busting drug. And essentially what that did was it transformed stroke into a neurologic emergency. And so we were able to administer this drug to people that were having a stroke within the first 3 hours. Later, the window was changed to 4.5 hours for some patients. And it was able to help dissolve the clot in certain cases and reduce the severity of strokes at 90 days. Now we have devices called stentrievers, and we literally go inside the blood vessels as an emergency procedure, and we open up the blood vessels when they're clotted if that is appropriate for the right patient. And so we can take somebody who is completely paralyzed, unable to speak, unable to comprehend, and have them walk out of the hospital almost completely normal within 48 to 72 hours, depending on how things go.
So that just prompted a question for me. I had a stent, you know, but most of my listeners know I had a stent about 18 months ago. I had an 85% blockage. those kind of blockages can create heart attacks. What's the difference between a blockage that creates a stroke versus a blockage that creates heart issues? Are they the same?
The basic physiology or pathophysiology is similar in the sense that if you have a high degree of narrowing of a blood vessel, then if your blood pressure drops or if you become dehydrated, then less blood goes through that area and you can end up with not enough blood flow, and that can cause problems in the heart or it can cause problems in the brain. In the heart, you get chest pain, you get angina, and so you have a warning that there's a problem. In the brain, you may have TIAs that we talked about before. You may just not be as smart as you would be otherwise. Things may just not work as well. Narrowings of smaller degrees, though, are even more dangerous. Heart attacks are typically caused by narrowings of 30, 40, 50% where you have a plaque in the blood vessel and the plaque suddenly ruptures. When the plaque ruptures, what that does is it causes your platelets in your body to suddenly create, it thinks that there's a breach in the wall and it suddenly creates a clot. The clot's in the middle of the vessel and it blocks off the vessel. It's why so many people take aspirin to prevent heart attacks and aspirin to prevent strokes, because it inactivates the platelets and makes it less likely for a plaque rupture to cause a sudden event like that. So essentially it's similar in the heart and in the brain. We do put stents in blood vessels that go to the brain, just like we do in the heart. Not as much so. We try to do things more with medications and other lifestyle modifications. But if somebody has a severe enough narrowing, we place stents inside the blood vessels of the brain, inside the blood vessels of the neck.
So we talked about this before. TIA is a stroke. Are there things that look a whole lot like strokes that aren't strokes that have similar...
There are, and there are a few, but they're not that important. I would rather anyone listening to this to not worry about, is this or is this not a stroke? If you think you're having a stroke, just call 911 and get help. So the main thing is, if it's sudden in onset, if it's something that used to work isn't working all of a sudden, that tells you that there's something wrong. You need to get it checked out. You need to get it checked out as quickly as possible. Every minute that goes by, up to 1.9 million brain cells can die. And as we get older, we have less brain cells than what we started out with. So you want to try to save as many as you can.
So can you prevent strokes?
Absolutely. About 80% of all strokes are preventable. In the United States, almost 800,000 strokes happen a year. Of those, almost 790,000 of them are preventable. The main things are, we do them to ourselves. So for any of your listeners that smoke, don't. I mean, I'm sure. But in this day and age, everyone knows that they shouldn't smoke. They do anyway. If they could see what they were doing, the damage they were doing with every cigarette, they would definitely not be smoking. But because they don't see it, it doesn't mean the damage isn't happening. And smoking is one of the is a very major trigger and exacerbator of all the other variables that lead to stroke. If you have high blood pressure, and everyone should know what their blood pressure is. I can't tell you how many times people come in and say, "Oh, I don't have high blood pressure." You say, "Really? When was the last time it was checked?" Well, I don't really see a doctor, or I saw my doctor a year ago and it wasn't high then. Did you gain 30 pounds in the last year? Yeah, I gained 30. The point is that you should know your numbers. Every person should know their numbers. They should know what their blood pressure is. You know, normal is 120 over 70, period. If your blood pressure is consistently higher than that, you need to have a conversation with your doctor about how to get it down. The best blood pressure to have, believe it or not, all the studies have shown, is the lowest blood pressure you can tolerate. So the lower your blood pressure, the longer you live. The problem is if your blood pressure gets too low, you don't feel very good and you don't have a lot of energy.
Right.
So there is such a thing as a practical too low, but high blood pressure is a major trigger. Your cholesterol level, I'm not talking about eating cholesterol, I'm talking about what your bad cholesterol is, your LDL cholesterol. That seems to be a variable that's very important in causing strokes, and it's important for your cholesterol to be managed appropriately. If you drink alcohol, if you drink too much of it, it's not good for you. I mean, it's very simple. It's a medication. It has a dose. The right dose is, if you're a male, you can have 2 drinks a day. If you're a female, you can have 1 drink a day. You can't save them up and have 7 on Sunday or 14 on Sunday. In the United States, unfortunately, I think that we have become a culture of workaholics. A lot of people work very, very hard, and then they binge drink on the weekends. This is incredibly bad for you. And the reality is that you shouldn't be doing that. And then the next biggest variable that people should be aware of is essentially, besides all the things that we've talked about, is how active they are. If you are sedentary, you are not going to be as healthy as you will be if you're mobile. In fact, the best thing you can do for yourself to live longer is to get up, go outside, do things, be physically active. If you already know you have an irregular heartbeat, if you have atrial fibrillation, you need to be on medication for it. If your doctor says that they don't think that you need to be on medication, you need to have a good understanding of why that is. Atrial fibrillation should be, people with atrial fibrillation, if they do not have other risk factors, should be on medications to help prevent clots. There are some variables you can't change. The reality is that you can't change your age, you can't change your gender, you can't change your race, and these are all variables, essentially, in stroke. If you have a first-degree family relative that had a stroke, your risk just went up. You can't change that. But the things that you can change, you should.
When we come back, by the way, if you're just tuning in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom, here tonight with Dr. Ali Malik, who is a interventional neurologist with Palm Beach Neuroscience and St. Mary's, specialist in strokes. May is Stroke Awareness Month. We are talking, we're just talking about prevention. We're going to talk about treatment. We're going to talk, I have a question that came up in what Dr. Malik was just saying. I'll come back to that when we come, when we get back. If you are in Palm Beach County and it's Monday night and you have a question for Dr. Malik, you can call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Allison, Comfort Care is a family-owned and operated business.
We are, Mike. It's myself, my husband Tino, and my parents Irene and Scott. We're all thoroughly involved in the day-to-day operations of the business. So many of our clients' families do not live locally and therefore count on us to be their local eyes and ears. Every one of our clients has access to an owner day or night, and we do monitor our office phones 24 hours, 7 days a week by a member of our office staff.
So, Allison, family's very important to you guys at Comfort Care Senior Services.
It really is, Mike. I was very involved with my grandmother before she passed away, so we understand how important it is for everyone in the family, not just the senior needing care, to be a part of the equation. We talk to family members on a regular basis. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. 561-630-1620.
I'm here with Tino Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Tino, you guys are really going above and beyond when it comes to training your staff for Alzheimer's care.
So, Mike, a lot of people complain about their caregivers being on the phone all day. At Comfort Care, we are training our caregivers to keep your loved ones active, engaged, and stimulated.
And Tino, what are some of the things you're doing to make your caregivers better equipped to take care of people with Alzheimer's?
So twice a month, I'm bringing our caregivers in to our office for specialized training on behavior modification and cognitive stimulation activities designed to keep your loved ones active when the caregivers are there staying with them. We find caregivers respond favorably when they have the tools at their disposal to take care of your loved one. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of your life. So let our family take care of your family. 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. If you're just tuning in, you're missing a wonderful show. We really are. This is one of the most important shows I will do all year. I am here tonight with Dr. Ali Malik, who is an interventional neurologist with the Palm Beach Neuroscience Institute in West Palm Beach, also practices at St. Mary's Hospital. He is he's a true expert in strokes, both preventing them and, just as important, if you are unfortunate enough to have had a stroke, in treating strokes, because we will repeat this again, speed matters. But regardless, proper attention to the stroke, rapid diagnosis, rapid treatment, et cetera, are critical. And I guess with that, I'll turn to you, Dr. Malik, and say, let's talk about that. Treatment matters, right? Fast treatment and generally treatment matters.
It's really important that you go to a stroke center. So in Florida, we were very fortunate. We were responsible for the Florida Stroke Act, which is now essentially almost a national thing, where if you are thought to be having a stroke by EMS, you are taken to the nearest comprehensive stroke center or primary stroke center, depending on what the legislation population is in your area. But the point is that you get treatment. And what happens is there are two different major types of strokes, right? There's the type where you have a blockage, so it's an ischemic stroke. There's not enough blood going to the brain. And there is the type that's called hemorrhagic, where you have a blood vessel that's, for whatever reason, ruptured and you now have bleeding in your brain. These are two very different categories, and they have different treatments. And that distinction is made very quickly. So if you come to St. Mary's and you are having a stroke, literally, you wheel almost through the ER. You're evaluated very, very quickly by the stroke team and the ER physician. You go straight to the CAT scanner. The team is in the CAT scanner waiting to see what damages are. You're being examined as you're being put on the table. We take pictures of your head, of your brain, and those pictures are acquired in less than a minute. And based on that, we decide whether this is a bleeding type stroke or an ischemic stroke. If there is no bleeding and you meet criteria for the clot busting drug, we literally have it in bandoliers on our team in the CAT scanner, and we give it to you on the table. Wow. We have given people TPA within 8 minutes, 9 minutes, 10 minutes of arrival. The goal is to give it as quickly as possible because it's more effective the quicker you give it in the right patient. So we give the drug, but then what we do that as a comprehensive center, that's the next level, and it's part of the technology that we were talking about earlier, is we do what's called multimodal imaging. We do what's called a CT angiogram, which looks at the blood vessels and is looking for a blockage, and then immediately afterwards, we do what's called a CT perfusion scan. And what that's looking for is to see whether or not there are still brain cells salvageable. The reality is that brain cells don't do well when they don't have enough blood flow. And for every person, it's a little different how long they can go with or without a blockage. So somebody can come in literally having had a stroke that started 15 minutes ago, but that blockage, especially when they're younger, that blockage was such that they don't have a lot of collateral circulation, they don't have a lot of bypasses and backups, and therefore that entire territory is already dead at 15 minutes, in which case opening up that blood vessel is not healthy for them. While you can have somebody that's at 6 hours or 8 hours, or what's really cool for us is nowadays we're treating what are called wake-up strokes. If you went to bed last night normal and you woke up with a significant deficit in the morning, we don't know when that stroke happened. And we have to go by last seen normal. And that would be 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, whenever you went to bed. So if somebody comes into the hospital, they can't get the clot busting drug because the window of opportunity for a clot busting drug is within 3 hours. It's within 4.5 hours for a small subpopulation. If you went to bed longer than 3 or 4.5 hours ago, you're not a candidate for IVTPA. You're not a candidate for the clot busting drug. But what we do is we do this multimodal imaging, and if the perfusion shows that there is salvageable tissue, then you go straight to the angio suite. You go straight to our lab where we essentially go in through the femoral artery in the leg or through the radial artery in the arm, and we go in and we actually go and fish out the clot, for want of a better term. It's actually a lot more complicated than it sounds. But what we do is we open up the blood vessel as quickly as possible, and we try to make what would be a life-ending stroke or a very large stroke into something much smaller and manageable. And there are people that come in that would not have survived otherwise or would have been relegated to a nursing home for the remainder of their life that go back to their regular life after this.
So that was kind of my next question, which is can you recover from strokes? Do people recover? Because there was a time when you couldn't or wouldn't.
So we talked about severity of strokes earlier. So there are milder strokes and there are more severe strokes. There's high-value real estate. You can have a major blockage in a blood vessel and lose an entire half of your brain. You're not going to have the same recovery from something like that unless we get you open really quickly. The way you should think about your brain is it's like a company and has a bunch of different departments. If somebody were to go in and fire everybody in one department, that area just had a stroke.
It ceased to exist.
So, but you need that function.
Right.
What can happen, though, is let's say that you downsize an entire department, but you told everybody else you got to learn all those skills and you got to take over that function. Well, if it's one department, given enough time and enough training, this is what rehabilitation is for, you can get back a lot of the function. There are people that are very fortunate that come back with a lot of some of them can go back to almost completely normal. But that department is always gone. They never rehire. They never rebuild. What's happened is other people that were responsible for other jobs, other brain cells that were responsible for other things, now are recruited to take over some of that function. If you take out too many departments, you're never going to have enough to make up for it. You can have some recovery, but it's not going to be complete. But for anyone that has had a stroke, here's probably the single most important thing I can say to you if you've already had a stroke, is that you will never stop recovering. Never give up. Therapies will continue. The only time you stop improving is if you stop trying. And so it's really important. Will you go back to exactly the way you were before? No, but you can get a lot better than you are now. Just don't give up. Even if your stroke was a year ago, 3 years ago, 10 years ago, as long as you're exercising, as long as you're working with therapists, as long as you're doing what you can always keep improving.
It's really amazing. If you're just tuning in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here tonight with Dr. Ali Malik, and we are talking about strokes, as May is Stroke Awareness Month. Dr. Malik, if you've been listening, clearly is an expert in all things stroke, and we have a whole lot more to talk about in the time that we have left. If you're listening on Long Island or in Gainesville, we're glad that you're here. If you're listening on Saturday morning in Palm Beach, we're equally glad that you're here. But if you are listening live and you would like to ask Dr. Malik a question, there is still time. You can call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Scott, caregiver stress is really a silent killer, isn't it?
It really is, Mike. The statistics are astounding. Nearly 64% of family caregivers taking care of somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia without having outside help will predecease their loved one who has Alzheimer's and dementia. The stress of taking care of a loved one with a chronic disease can take a terrible toll, and the need for a respite is never more apparent than when you're feeling the most stressed.
So, Scott, your services can be provided for just a couple of hours a day so we can live our normal life.
Yes, Mike. Even a couple of hours away from the family member who is struggling with a chronic disease can give you the break that you need to take care of yourself. Get your hair done, go out and play cards, maybe a round of golf, go see a movie. All of these are things that will help you take care of your loved one better if you're in a better frame of mind. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us, 561-630-1620.
I'm here with Allison Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Allison, Comfort Care is a family-owned and operated business.
We are, Mike. It's myself, my husband Tino, and my parents Irene and Scott. We're all thoroughly involved in the day-to-day operations of the business. So many of our clients' families do not live locally and therefore count on us to be their local eyes and ears. Every one of our clients has access to an owner day or night, and we do monitor our office phones 24 hours, 7 days a week by a member of our office staff.
So, Allison, family's very important to you guys at Comfort Care Senior Services.
It really is, Mike. I was very involved with my grandmother before she passed away, so we understand how important it is for everyone in the family, not just the senior needing care, to be a part of the equation. We talk to family members on a regular basis. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We are here live tonight, if you're listening in Palm Beach on Monday night, with Dr. Ali Malik. Dr. Malik is a interventional neurologist at Palm Beach Neuroscience Institute. We're going to talk, we have so much more. We've been talking about strokes. May is Stroke Awareness Month. We've talked about early warning signs. We've talked about prevention. We've talked about cure. We haven't talked a lot about treatment yet. I guess we will. But Dr. Malik, I said to you before the show when you came in that it must be difficult because it would seem like virtually everyone that you meet is in immediate crisis, and you actually told me that's not true. That leads me to believe that there are kind of either early warning signs or other things happening that should bring people to you or someone like you.
So there are people that have spells, that have episodes where they would count as TIAs, but they weren't brought to the hospital. Whenever you find out that you've had something, it's important for you to come and see somebody like me. I treat aneurysms as well. I treat blood vessel abnormalities in the brain, like arteriovenous malformations. I treat narrowings in the carotid arteries and blood vessels inside the brain. So there are other reasons that people will see somebody like me. But really the main thing is odds are if you need me as an emergency, it's time sensitive and you need to get to the hospital as quickly as possible and let us do what we need to. But if you come in with a hemorrhage, the treatment of that is the critical care treatment. It's being in the neuro ICU and managing all of the things that go wrong in somebody that's had a hemorrhage. So you don't necessarily get rushed to an angio suite and get a procedure. You get rushed to an ICU and you get a lot of really, really intensive medical and nursing care that helps get you through it. So it's not quite the urgency that we're used to.
But that brings up a point for me. I know that people who I know that if I thought I was having a stroke, when I called 911, I would say, take me to your leader, who's Dr. Malik at St. Mary's. But not every hospital is as well equipped. I know where you go, if you have to go anywhere, but where you go does matter.
So everyone should know what their local stroke center is. I mean, your audience is very vast, and you even have international listeners. So everyone should know what resources they have available to them. First step is know what your risk factors are. Speak to your own doctor. Make sure you have a doctor. Have a checkup. Talk about what your risk factors are. But also, it's like any other emergency. The better you plan for it, the better you'll be able to do if you were to have it. So if you know what your local stroke center is like or where your local stroke center is, you know what the patterns are, you know where to go. You know where you want to be taken. There are different levels or different tiers of care. Again, the single most important thing is time. So you need to get somewhere. So if you have a hospital that's 5 minutes away from you, that's a primary stroke center, that means somewhere that can give the clot-busting drug but doesn't have the interventions that we do, and the closest interventional center is an hour away, you want to go to the primary center because they'll give you the clot-busting drug if it's important, and they'll fly you to the closest comprehensive center. If you're in an area where you're 5 minutes away from a primary center and 5 minutes away from a comprehensive center, odds are your EMS already knows how they're going to triage you, and they'll take you to the appropriate place. But you should just know what your own environment is
and
like.
And you work closely with EMS, right? Because more and more, they are your early treatment responder. Correct?
Couldn't live without them. I mean, the reality is that it's an entire team of people that makes everything work. Couldn't live without any of them. And EMS is the first step. And they are, I'll tell you, in Palm Beach County, they're phenomenal. They have gone out of their way to be as educated as possible about stroke. They work very closely with us. They want to see everyone in the county do well. Somebody goes into EMS, they do it because they care about their community. And so you're not going to get a better start to your care than calling 911, getting them to help you.
Do they carry TPA?
No.
No.
Because remember,
it has to be
you can't, well, you can't, you don't know, well, it's more complicated than that. You don't know if the type of stroke you're having is a bleeding type stroke or if it's an ischemic stroke. So if you have a blockage and you give TPA, that's a good thing. If you've already been bleeding in your brain, you give TPA, that would be a catastrophe. So the only time we give TPA is after we've made that determination, and that requires
film or imaging.
A CAT scan. Right.
Right. Your comment about EMS, I had the good fortune to train all 1,300 Palm Beach County Fire Rescue on Alzheimer's and dementia training. And we spent six sessions a day over 3 weeks, 6 days a week. It was really remarkable. What you said about them is absolutely true. They are a special breed of people. There is no doubt about that. So if people have information or if they're worried that they may be having a stroke, you don't want them to call you. You want them to do something else,
no,
right?
No, I think that everyone should just – if you think you're having a stroke or if you think somebody is having a stroke, you call 911. That's the most important thing. Know your own risk factors. Know what you should be doing to prevent a stroke. But if you think you're having one, you need to definitely call 911. If you want more information, there's always the website for the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association. There's information at the St. Mary's website. There's an entire section on stroke. We have stroke survivor groups, and there's a lot of information out there. But at the moment that you're having one, that's not when you Google whether or not your symptoms might be a stroke. You just call 911.
That's great. You know, you mentioned it briefly. We haven't talked about it at all. I think some people think an aneurysm. I think an aneurysm is a stroke, but it's not, right?
So an aneurysm rupturing can lead to stroke. So an aneurysm is a bubble and a blood vessel in a brain. Aneurysms are really common. If you took 100 of us randomly, anywhere from 2 to 6 of us have an aneurysm. So aneurysms are very common. Only 1 in 600 aneurysms ruptures. If an aneurysm ruptures, one, you will know it, or the people around you will know it, and that is a stroke. You will be going to 911, you'll be getting to a hospital to be treated as quickly as possible. The risk factors for an aneurysm rupturing are what people should know, and that is if they have a first-degree family relative, mother, father, brother, sister, or child, that had an aneurysm rupture, their risk goes up by 10%. If they have certain disorders like polycystic kidney disease, polycystic ovary disease, their risk is a little bit higher. If they have high blood pressure, as you can imagine, their risk goes up just a little bit as well. If they are a smoker, their risk goes up 11 times, not 11%, not 10%, 11 times. So if you have an aneurysm and you smoke, you really need to rethink what you're doing and why. And if you really like smoking that much, you may want to have a living will and make it clear to your family what you want. Because if an aneurysm ruptures, even if you're a 21-year-old Navy SEAL in perfect health, your survival is about 50%. And of the 50% that survive at 30 days, 1/3 of them end up in a nursing home, 1/3 of them end up going home but disabled, and 1/3 of them go back to a semblance of their regular life. So aneurysms are common. Aneurysms rupturing are uncommon, but when they happen, they're catastrophic, and you don't want that to happen. So if you're a smoker, don't.
Yeah, can't say it any more clear than that. If you just happened upon us, tuned in late, wish you hadn't. You should have wished you hadn't. We've been talking about strokes with Dr. Ali Malik. Dr. Malik is at St. Mary's Hospital. He is a specialist in stroke. He's an interventional neurologist at Palm Beach Neuroscience Institute. He is the specialist in the region for stroke treatment, diagnosis, awareness. He's an unbelievable advocate. But if you've missed the show and are sorry that you did, I have good news. We podcast. Yes, up tomorrow. It will be on podcast. Just search OMG I'm Getting. Up We Will Pop, this show and others. Of course, I will also put it up on my website tomorrow, www.palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Palmbeach.comfortcare.com. comfortcare.com. Don't put a T in there. I know you want to. I know it's hard not to, but you won't get to us if you do. If you don't have a radio, we were talking about that before, you're not the only one. The good news is you have a smartphone, so you can download an app. Of course there's an app, TuneIn Radio. You can just set a reminder, listen to 900 AM every Monday night at 5:06 we go live. Of course we're on iHeartRadio as well. We simulcast www.900thetalk.com locally, statewide, nationally, and around the world. In next week, we have a very special show, and as soon as I figure out what it is, I'll tell you. Seriously, about an hour before the show tonight, my guest next week canceled, but we will have somebody very important here. But in 2 weeks, we're going to kind of continue down a path not exactly the same, but similar to tonight's show. Dr. Lawrence Luttenberg is going to be here. He's a trauma surgeon, also at St. Mary's Medical Center. Most people don't know that St. Mary's is a level one trauma center, the highest designation you can possibly have. They do unbelievable work. He is a special physician who is there. We are fortunate, we are blessed to have the resource that is St. Mary's and their trauma center, and Dr. Luttenberg is going to come and tell us about that as well. But in the few minutes that I have left, Dr. Malik, I know that you are such an advocate. You feel so strongly about this. Of course you do. Why else would you be here the day after you came back from vacation? You're in an entirely different time zone, so I can't thank you enough for that. But what are some of the things that you, or what are a couple of things that the audience really needs to remember that is critical about the whole topic of stroke since this is Stroke Awareness Month?
One, anyone can have a stroke. Keep that in mind. Children have strokes. No matter, I've had marathon runners have strokes. I've had the healthiest people that you think have strokes. No matter who you are, you have risk factors for stroke, and you should know what those risk factors are. You want to reduce the risk factors that you can change. One of the key things with that is blood pressure. Knowing what your blood pressure is incredibly important, and treating it, doing everything you can to have your blood pressure as low as it should be, is really important. knowing the signs and symptoms of a stroke, knowing that you, if you have any sudden change, particularly remember the acronym FAST, face, arm, speech, time. If you think you're having a stroke, please call 911. Please don't hesitate. Whatever you do, don't decide that you're going to just rest and see if it gets better, because time is brain. Every 1 minute that goes by, up to 1.9 million brain cells, almost 2 million brain cells are dying. And the less brain cells you have, the poorer your recovery will be. And there are fates worse than death. You don't want to let your brain cells die if it's preventable. You want to get to a stroke center as quickly as possible. And you want to make sure that you and your loved ones know exactly what your wishes are if you were to have a catastrophic stroke.
Is there one, and I may surprise you with this because we didn't talk about it, is there one major misconception or myth that needs to be eliminated when we talk about strokes? Is there one thing you hear over and over and over again and you just want to say, my God, I got to stop hearing this stuff. It's just wrong. Is there something out there?
Two things.
Okay.
One, I'm too young for a stroke, or I'm too healthy for a stroke. And two, I've had a stroke. It was a while ago. I'm not going to get any better. I think that it's really important to know that no matter how healthy you think you are, you should still know the signs and symptoms. You need to know that you are still at risk. Your risk is lower, and that's great, and you should do whatever you can to lower it even further. And also, if you've had a stroke, you should never give up. People typically say that at 3 years, whatever you're at, or at 6 months or 9 months, everyone has their own mythology about at what point you stop getting better. Yes, you don't get better as quickly as you did before, but you will continue. It's like any other exercise. The more you do, the better you will get. And do what you can to keep your brain. I mean, you with all of your education you've provided for Alzheimer's and all this, you know this. Learn a new language. Play a new instrument. Do things new. Challenge your brain, and your brain will serve you well.
So if you just tune in tonight, Dr. Malik, I need to say this. One, you're a fascinating guest, and I can't thank you enough for being here. The information you give out is just remarkable, and your commitment to the community really can't go unnoticed. I don't think people understand what a wonderful resource you are, so I want to thank you for being here
tonight.
Thank you. And I want to thank you again for all you do. But I do think to my audience that's out there, if you're not paying attention to what Dr. Malik said, I know a lot of doctors come on the radio, and they do. They come on all the time. We talked about this during the break. Everybody wants you to live a healthy lifestyle. They want you to eat better, exercise more, stop drinking, stop smoking, and stop doing all of those things. The reality is that is not just verbiage. That's not just jargon. That's just not preaching. The reality, and nobody more than Dr. Malik can attest, that the results of surviving a bad event for not having taken care of yourself is far more tragic than giving up that extra glass of wine or that pack of cigarettes or getting up, getting out, and getting exercising. We're all busy. We all have a lot on our plates. We all have 1,000 excuses. All excuses, in fact, are equal. But I deal, most people know, I deal regularly with people who are struggling with some chronic disease. Stroke, as this is Stroke Awareness Month, doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to be. And if you have one and you get treated quickly, you can minimize the impact. And isn't that what we all want? So again, I want to thank Dr. Malik. Yes, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We are here every Monday night on 900 a.m., the Talk of the Palm Beaches. We go live at 5:06. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. We're also broadcast on Long Island. We're on in Gainesville. We're also on in Palm Beach County on Saturday morning on 3 different stations. We are here to talk about things that are important to you. So if you have things that are important to you you'd like us to talk about, please feel free to let us know, and we will be sure to add it to the subject matter. Again, next week we'll have a very interesting show. In 2 weeks we're going to be talking about trauma with Dr. Lautenberg from St. Mary's Hospital. Again, Dr. Malik, much thanks. To the rest of you, have a great week. This is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Good night, all.